Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Chris Hicks, the Washoe County District Attorney, talks to Ray Hager and I. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Eric Herzig and Joe Gill. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program the Washoe County District Attorney, Chris Hicks. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Pleasure to be here.
Chris, I wanted to start with the incident Wednesday at Hugg High School when a student police person shot a student who was wielding a knife. And I was wondering, when does your office come in on this incident, and how do you come in?
Well, it's a unique sign of the times, actually, in regards to yesterday's situation. In a very general sense, we have a regionally adopted officer-involved shooting protocol that all the agencies have signed on to. It was organized by my office originally, and that's what we put in place when there's been an officer shooting someone. And there's exact protocols as to when they're supposed to call the district attorney, and that's once it's reported to dispatch. And so typically we know right away, give or take a bit. And then, like yesterday, I respond along with my chief investigator to the scene. But what was unique yesterday about the sign of the times we live in, I actually had my administrative assistant came into my office, and she had seen it on RGJ, who picked it up off a scanner before I had even been called. And so that was a little unique. But we went up there promptly. This was a very serious situation. We were very concerned about the students, about the law enforcement involved. And so it was well handled. I was very pleased to see how law enforcement was working when I got there.
Did it surprise you that we immediately got national coverage?
It didn't. Because, one, officer-involved shootings are an absolute hotbed in our society right now. There's just so much scrutiny being imposed on them, which it should be, as long as it's fair. And when any time you involve students, everybody's concerned and it becomes much more serious.
Can you tell us the status of the student that was shot?
I received information yesterday, I think that's been made public at this point, that he was in critical but stable condition. And that is still, as I am aware this morning, the situation.
Okay, where do we go from here?
What will happen is the Reno Police Department took the lead, and that is consistent with our protocol. And that's because they had no involved officers in the shoot. There was one officer who shot one time, and he worked for the school district police. And so the homicide unit of the Reno Police Department will investigate it. They'll interview all the witnesses, which there were a lot of students who were witnesses yesterday. It was a bit of a painstaking process collecting them all in the cafeteria, getting them victim advocates. Several advocates from my office went up to help these kids, and they worked through and getting their statements, interviews of the shooting officer. And so that process will move forward. They do a very thorough investigation before they ultimately will submit it to me for the final determination of whether or not it was a crime or whether or not it was justified.
How did the student get a knife on campus?
I'm unaware of how that happened. I haven't received information in regards to that part of the investigation. But, there's backpacks. There's all kinds of different ways that students can get any kind of contraband on the campus.
Are those checked at the door or any kind of metal detectors at the schools?
Unknown by me. I don't know.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back more with Chris Hicks, the Washoe County District Attorney, right after this timeout.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Chris Hicks. He's the Washoe County District Attorney. Immigration, huge topic in this country at this point in time with President-elect Trump and all the things that he talked about prior to the election. There is a lot of fear in the Hispanic community in Las Vegas, in Reno, and across the country. What do you say to these folks? Because as a district attorney, I know our sheriff, and I would imagine our police chief are feeling the same way. You need the Hispanic community because you need to be able to reach out and deal with that community. What do you say to them at this time?
Well, my office is touched in several ways by undocumented immigrants. You know, obviously we have defendants, of course, that commit crimes, but we also have witnesses to crimes and victims themselves that are undocumented. And the latter two that I speak of, it can become real difficult if we don't have cooperation from undocumented immigrants in our cases, because we need them to prove it. We need them to keep our streets safe. We need them to get violent criminals and other criminals off the streets. And so over the years, and we'll continue to do so, we work with our victims and our witnesses who are undocumented. We try to help them get through the process. We do have mechanisms in place that have been federally adopted that result in visas for certain cooperating witnesses and victims. And so we'll continue to do that. I definitely understand the concerns that are out there.
Do you have a fear that the federal government is suddenly going to hire 10 more ICE agents and they're going to come in and sweep the town?
I don't necessarily have that fear. I mean, nobody exactly knows yet what the plan is. You know, that type of a movement would be so overwhelming to our courts, to law enforcement, to our jail, to my office. It would be very difficult to sustain.
I heard Chuck Allen speaking to a group of Hispanic business people the other day, and he said he has a limited amount of jail space. He is a little bit below that limit in terms of occupants of the jail. He has no place to put people. He said it's not going to happen.
Well, that's accurate. We're actually unique in our community. Our jail is slightly below overpopulated. That's pretty rare, really. But, you know, my office is the same way, and a lot of our police department our various agencies, because, you know, we're coming off several lean years with huge budget cuts. And, you know, most of our policing or my prosecuting is reactive because we don't have the force, the manpower to do what we'd really love to do. And so we do the best we can. But if you add a huge element like that, it's true. I would agree with what Sheriff Allen said there. It will take some significant changes in time to implement dramatic changes like that.
So people should take a deep breath?
Yes. I mean, I'm not a policymaker. I don't have the control of that. But you have to look at things realistically. And to me, realistically, This is going to be a bit of a process.
And the reason I bring this up is, if you remember a few years ago when Luther Max McDonald was raided, mm-hmm. every other fast food joint lost half their employees for several days because people thought it was going to happen to every place. And the reality was, it didn't.
It's true. What I worry about is my ability to prove cases. And for years, defendants have used that intimidation factor on undocumented people by saying, hey, if you testify against me, for example, I'm going to tell the cops that you're here illegally. And a lot of our undocumented citizens, or not citizens, undocumented immigrants don't know the better. And you also got to understand they come from communities where there's a fear of authority anyways. And so I'm very concerned with that. I'm concerned with that elevating now with these new concerns. I've also over the years seen criminal defense attorneys use that same intimidation against victims, asking them if while they're on the stand testifying in a domestic battery case, so to speak, or to say, and they'll say, well, are you a legal citizen of this country, which is totally out of line. And it really intimidates the witnesses.
Chris, Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General, Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, is a staunch anti-marijuana advocate, saying once good people don't smoke marijuana. Could the Attorney General just blow up Nevada's legal marijuana business that's going to go into effect possibly in January of 2018? And also, will people in Nevada be allowed to smoke marijuana in bars and other premises that allow tobacco smoking?
I think, to your first question, it's a federal crime, and certainly they could blow it up. If they want to put the federal resources into enforcing what is a crime federally, sure. I don't know if that's his agenda. I certainly think it would probably be met very poorly in our state because our state voted to pass the legalization of recreational marijuana. As to your latter question, no. You're not allowed to use publicly right now. The initiative petition that passed allows for possession and use in your own private residence or location, but you can't go use it in bars. Now, Colorado has taken that step, and you know the pendulum's moving that way. So I can't say in a couple of years that won't be the next thing Nevada's trying to do.
Would you think that if Senator Sessions or Attorney General Sessions went after the marijuana industry, would he have to put a lot of resources into that? Because there's a lot of states now that have legal marijuana, and perhaps other things the AG usually does wouldn't get done.
I don't have enough of a grasp about the U.S. Attorney General's day-to-day duties and how bad that would be impacted. But yes, I mean, marijuana is moving throughout our country. States, every election cycle, there is another state that passes it. And so if that were the position they wanted to take, it's going to be a big hurdle. But hey, if that's the way they see it, go get it.
You know, it seems to me that the likelihood is that he'll have other issues on his plate that will be far more important than doing this.
I would agree with you. Marijuana is just flat. It's becoming accepted. And, I was a strong opponent of it being passed. I really worried about public safety, still do, but it passed. I'll let that go, and I'll move forward now to making sure we keep our streets safe.
Do you think the AG would go after the grow houses, the retail pot shops, or could they go after the users of legal marijuana?
Well, I think you could do all of those, and you could seize funds. There's a lot of mechanisms. And I'll give you a lower level example. Is in our community, we regularly seize drug proceeds from drug dealers, cash that they clearly made off selling drugs illegally in our community. That's a lawful forfeiture. And so there's a lot of money being made off of recreational marijuana, and there's going to be a lot out there, and it can't go into banks. It's a very unique circumstance.
So they could, the federal government may be able to seize the money that the pot shops make, and these are owned by very high-end kind of people in Nevada. For an example, former University of Nevada President Joe Crowley is in the marijuana business.
Well, you know, I don't want to create another alarm like the immigration one we just talked about, but I'm saying theoretically all of those things could be done. Those are on the books. They are laws.
That is a picture I never want to see. Joe in chains.
Me neither.
Chris Hicks, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, Ray Hager and I, along with pundits Eric Herzig, the political science professor from UNR, and Joe Gill, the attorney. So, you know, it's a couple of days after the election, full-page ad in the Reno Gazette Journal. I wouldn't be surprised if it was also in the Las Vegas Review Journal. And it's got a picture of Dean Heller with Steve Breitbart, Trump-appointed white supremacist, anti-Semite, and domestic abuser Steve Bannon to be his chief White House strategist, and Senator Dean Heller did nothing. This is from a group called Ultraviolet Action. I mean, the election is just over. This one is 2 years away, and yet?
Well, that was my first reaction, too. It's like, can I at least come up for air before we start talking about 2018? But this is the new strategy of the new politics, is that it never stops. And you start laying the groundwork against an opponent, and really more against an opponent rather than for an opponent, almost immediately. It never gets out of the cycle. Like in the past, and you know, great example was when Kenny Gwynn ran for governor. It wasn't a negative. It was like, I'm starting, and Ralston made fun of him, Kenny of a thousand days. I'm going, well, he had to go around the state and introduce himself because he wasn't that well known. That was classic politics. Well, now we've turned that on its head, to where it's like, we're going to get you, and we're going to start now, and it's not going to stop.
Well, I had the same reaction as Eric. But if I was Dean Heller, I'd say, oh, nice gift. I know who's going to come after me next election cycle. I know one of the issues that they're going to be throwing at my doorstep, and so I can prepare for it. But it is the new politics. This is the world we're going to live in from now on. And, you know, this last presidential election kind of laid put a building on a foundation that might have been laid a long time ago.
Right. Well, I just think it shows that the 2018 election in Nevada is going to be stupendous. You could have Dean Heller be running for governor. You could have Mark Amadei running for governor. And if that happens, you could have like Adam Laxalt running for the U.S. Senate. I mean, this could be a musical chairs of gigantic proportions in 2018.
And Mark Amadei also currently having fundraisers in this period before we get to the end of the year.
Well, and just real quick, you know, the Clark County Commission chairman,
Steve Sisolak
has already announced that he wanted to run for governor as a Democrat. So, yeah.
And he sure got the money.
Oh, yeah. Also,
it was interesting. One of the first actions that Catherine Cortez Masto did in D.C. Was to form a PAC.
Oh, I'm getting almost daily emails on that one. And I'm like, say, we've got to start. She took almost like all the banners from her fundraising when she was running, and it's kind of, are you with us? Can you do this? And right now it's to help the Democrats in Louisiana.
Right. Please send $5 or more.
Right. And I'm like, it never stops. And as you mentioned, Amadei, Sisolak, they're all doing fundraisers already. And it's like so much for draining the swamp. I mean, it's like it doesn't stop. It's both sides. It's everybody now. And it's not so much, and I think many people who voted for Trump are going to be disappointed that swamp is still full of alligators.
You know, Ray, it was interesting. Seth Richardson conducted the first interview that Catherine Cortez Masto had given in forever, maybe since the debate. And she really seemed to have no answers for any of his questions, which seemed very vague.
No, she really didn't have many answers all through the campaign.
But you expect that maybe during the campaign.
Right.
But after the campaign, she got the job.
I was blown away with how many non-answers she gave Seth Richardson of the Reno Gazette Journal. It's like she is not going to play ball with the media, it looks like, because she is in Washington. It's almost like she's in an ivory tower when it comes to the media. I haven't seen her do much outreach. And then, of course, when she went on her tour of northern Nevada, rural Nevada, she didn't invite any of the media along, and she was thoroughly ripped in the Lahontan paper, the Fallon paper, and the Carson City paper.
Maybe that's why she didn't invite the media along. I'll give up.
Yeah, but you know what? When you go to rural Nevada, all you're doing, what kind of media are you going to have? You're going to have one person from the Winnemucca paper or one person from the Elko Daily Free Press. They're not antagonistic. I just think it was a bad move on her part not to invite the local media because they are not her enemy.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you said, particularly she doesn't answer questions, doesn't do – although Seth's questions were like, what are you going to do right now? What's the first bill? What's this? And I thought they were almost too pointed, and it's like, hey, I'm still putting my staff together. I don't even have an office
yet. Right, but what are you
talking about? Why didn't she say that?
Okay, but why?
Well, she didn't. I'm not giving a total defense of what she's done. And your description, I would agree with.
Okay, but
his questions were almost like, well, why haven't you written a bill yet?
I feel like I've lost control here. but when you run for the United States Senate, a job that is going to be 6 years, one of the most powerful positions in the country, and you didn't go into it with any idea of what you were running for or what you were running on or what kind of general areas you would like to shape policy in. I think if that were Jill Derby, who had just got elected to the United States Senate, that she'd have a very long laundry list.
But look at the history. You know, when she was Attorney General, there wasn't a lot of forthcoming things from that office either. So it's part of her personality. And maybe it's just risk averse, and that's what we're going to see for the next 6 years.
You know, in contrast, I remember when Mark Amadei was first elected to the Congress, I asked him, and he had a laundry list of things he wanted to do. For example, the top thing was to get some federal land moved over to state control, which he did, and he did very well.
And that's where we got to leave it, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
As always, you can watch and listen to Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next broadcast.